I took some to Bible school down in Nations Worship, and I took these really cool camping lanterns, and I made sure that I collected them all. It was very clear that they were not for people to keep, and then I left my bag in the corner, and when I went back to my bag, 3 of the 4 lanterns were gone. They were so my husband was like, okay, you talked about being the light and doing good things so you can shine like stars, and 3 of your lanterns were stolen. That's not good. Oh, Jen, can I get you to hand these out for us? And I want to ask, today I think is Leah's last Sunday before she goes back to school, so we'd like to have a little prayer time for her. So I'm going to ask her to come forward and ask the several of you to come forward, and let's just pray for her. And we'll pray for the other college students as well. Andres is going back to school. Have any special prayer requests?
Not really.
No? Okay. You're not feeling, you don't need to feel strong and courageous for this year. You got this?
I do.
Okay. All right. Then I ask just a couple more people to come forward. Lord, we thank you today for Leah. We thank you for her life. We thank you, Lord, that you know her, that you see her wherever she goes, that even when her mom and dad and when we can't be there for her, Lord, that you are there for her. We thank you, Lord, that you have surrounded her with friends and people, Lord, who can support her. And so we just pray your blessing on her as she goes back to school, Lord. We pray that you would help her to learn the things that are important, whether they're from books, Lord, or from experiences, Lord, that you will continue to form and guide her life. And we just pray, Lord, that you would love her, you would care for her, Lord. And we just, again, we just want to say thank you for her. Thank you for her life, and thank you for her witness here in our congregation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Should we pray for the rest of the college kids while she's standing here?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, and we pray, Lord, for all the other college kids and students that are going back to school, Lord. We know that college can be a place, Lord, where a lot of doors open, Lord. So we just pray that you would be with our children, your children, Lord, as they make choices. And we just pray, Lord, you would guide them and watch over them and protect them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A lot of doors. Choose the right one. Andrews just said, too, that he forgot to say a praise that his daughter, Haley, works near Temple University where all that the shooting happened and all the drama happened last week. And so he just wanted to thank God, praise God, that she was safe and that she got home safely. So I think that is. Thank you, Andrew, for sharing that. That makes your heart stop when you know somebody who's in the area. And it just, thank God for protection. We'll continue to pray for all the people involved in that situation. I also just wanted to just mention this. It's just, we have an opportunity for the women from our congregation to join in retreat with the women from Norristown New Life at the MCC welcoming place. It's not too far. It's about an hour and 15 minutes from Norristown, so maybe a little farther from here. It's under $100. It includes meals and lodging. And it means that I couldn't be here either that weekend, so I just want to make sure that enough people are interested in going, because if only 2 people go and I go, then the rest of the congregation is left behind. So this is not a commitment, but just a weekend in November 15, leaving Friday, coming back Sunday. Just a quick raise of hands. Are any women, does that sound like something you'd be interested in doing? Okay. All right. I will see. I will keep praying about it. All right. I was reading a book this week called The Impressionists. It was about a man who had a big fight with his wife, and where they mentioned the D word. They were Christian people. They mentioned the D word, divorce. And he was, you know, he did his share of fighting back, right? So he said things he regretted. So he took this walk through the park where he met this man who asked him if he could paint him. And so the title of the book was Impressionist. So this man talked, these are Impressionist paintings, right, from the style of the Impressionist movement, painting movement. It's a small visible brush strokes with use of light and movement and very ordinary subject matter. So I just got a couple of these pictures for to show you. But as the man painted this other gentleman, he shared about his life, right? About things that he had learned along the way walking with the Lord and in his marriage. So by the end of the story, this man shows him the painting that he had painted of him, and the other man was like, "What? This is not me. This was completely different painting, right?" So he could tell his face was there, but on one side there was this big dragon looking like it was going to devour him, and on the other side there was this lion, right? Kind of maybe like an Aslan, like Lion, Witch in the Wardrobe, kind of lion of David, right? So this man, as he viewed the painting, he realized that he was kind of in that spot between choosing between right and wrong. It's kind of like, you know, the devil on one side and an angel on the other shoulder, right? And so he realized, and through this man's stories, that he needed to have a different perspective. He needed to learn to think much more in the lines of God's reality and the way God thinks about things. It makes me think about this verse in Romans 12 that says, "Do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So that's what, in this story, this man's mind was just open to all kinds of possibilities. He just had this big fight. He thought that his life was over. His son was doing drugs. He thought his son's life was over. But as this man talked about his life and all the things he had gone through and all the decisions he had made to allow his mind to be renewed, this man realized that there was hope for him. So what I want to talk about this morning a little bit is about scriptures and things that we can use in our everyday lives that helps us to kind of process what we're going through, helps us to kind of help us with. So like imagine like Monica the other day when she came and she had this sad story about this woman who had lost her life, this mother who had lost her life, and she didn't know really how to work through it, how to deal with it. Or, you know, in a situation where where you're at a bad job situation, or you've experienced loss, or you're struggling with the world news, or shootings, news about shootings, if you're having issues in your family. I'm just going to share with you some scriptures this morning that will help you kind of just filter through, look through a different filter. We talk about Lydia, when she was here and she preached about a different perspective, a different viewpoint, right? Looking at things from God's viewpoint. And last week, 2 weeks ago, after I preached, I think it was Eloise who shared, like, one thing that you said was about God's reality. Like, you live in a certain reality, but that's not always, your reality is not always lined up with the reality that God sees. And so these are scriptures that we can use to look at things through God's eyesight. This man painted this portrait of this person in this Impressionist style. It didn't look like him, but that was the viewpoint of the man, what the man was seeing. He saw the deep struggle in this other person. So we're just going to, I don't know if we're going to get through all of them. It's okay if we don't. That's why I gave you a handout. But my hope is that you will take one or two of these scriptural filters and you'll just apply them to your life this week so that God can renew our minds. I realize time and time again that what I think I see, the things that I see in front of me is not what God sees, and that need to replace all these lies that I'm being fed all the time with God's truth. And so that's what I'm hoping that we can do. Just get another tool for your toolbox, right, for life. Okay, so the first one is a joy filter. James 1, verse 2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let the perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." The song that we sang about the holy night, right? The holy night, talking about the darkness, right? Talking about the pain that happens in life, the trials, the hard things. The joy filter says that those hard things help us learn to persevere. They help us to mature, and they help us to be complete. They help to fulfill areas and spaces in our lives where we are lacking. It helps us to become more wise, right? So the joy filter says, if I'm facing something right now that's a trial and it's very hard and it's causing deep stress in my life, the joy filter says that take a closer look at that. Persevere through it. And as you persevere, as you continue to hold on to the hope, right? I don't know, pure joy is pretty much, right? But look at it through the eyes that God is working in my life. God is doing something so that I can grow, so I can become more complete. That's the joy filter. I don't know if the word filter is making sense to you, but it's like a lens, right? It's looking at things with joy rather than looking at them with fear or sadness, or mostly fear. I would say mostly fear. Okay, the second one is the trust filter. I prayed this morning on the way here. I try to stay out of things at Norristown New Life, but their pastoral search is not going very well at all. They just had somebody from within the congregation put their name in, and then they had a negative vote. So somebody within the congregation said, "I'd like to be pastor," and the church said no. So it's causing so much trauma. So I'm on the way praying here, like, "Lord, why did you take me out of Norristown Alive? Why am I not still there? I could probably help. Like, why does this church have to go through all this stuff?" And the guy's just like, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to God, and he will make your path straight." Says God, just like, "Put them back in my hands. There's a reason that you're not there. You're not supposed to be there right now. There's something that I'm doing that you can't see. Trust, trust, trust." Okay, so any situation where you can't see the way forward, where you don't know where this is going, where you think that you have a better idea of how things should be, look through this other lens, right? Trust in God. Trust that God, that in your submission, then God can do what you need to do. Because I have to stay out of it. I have to stay out of the stuff that's going on in our assembly life. But I have a husband that goes there, and I have kids that go there who are always talking about things. But I have to stay out. I cannot give my opinion to other people that are still my friends from there. Okay, the peace filter. Now this is another one that you can use for situations where you just feel like things are way out of control, that you cannot possibly do anything and you just feel super anxious. This is an anxiety scripture. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. So what you do is you lay down, right? You lay down your concerns, your anxieties, and then God replaces it with peace. The circumstances don't change. Things are still the same, but you have a peace about them. You feel you have presented them to God, you have laid them at God's feet, and then the peace guards your heart and your mind. So this, I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I pray, like these verses, if you can memorize them and keep them, like right here, this is a filter that can change, not circumstances, right? But our state of being, our well-being, our it can give us the peace that we need, and allow God then to do the work in our lives. I read something this week that talked about like anxiety is worshiping the problem, right? So the idea is that if you're anxious about something, then you're giving all your attention to that thing, and you're like stressed out about that. And so your worship doesn't leave any space for worship of God, worship and seeing the good things in your life, because you're so focused and so stressed about that thing. The rest filter. This one is a choice to rest in God. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Now, you'll know that, I mean, you'll see that there's plenty of overlap between these, right? I mean, the words are a little different, but there's overlap. This is the times when things feel really shaky and you just need to like go down and feel the feet on the rock, and you need to like stop striving. It makes me remember like when the Israelites are coming out of Egypt, and there's the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army is behind them, and God says just be still, I'll fight for you. Like this is the time. This is the filter that helps you just to stop striving and just rest in God. Stop trying to fix things. Stop trying to make things better. Stop just rest and feel that refuge and that rock beneath your feet. I think that's. All right, this one's super powerful. This is the reminder that God loves us, right? This is for when we doubt ourselves. This is when we think that we're not enough. This is when we think that we have messed things up so bad in the relationship, or we have done something so wrong that there's no hope. This is a reminder, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And the second
Romans 8, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither life or death, or angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height or depth, nor anything else in creation, no mistakes, no bad decisions, no broken relationships, are able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a reminder that sometimes you just need to know that God loves you. That God, despite whatever happens, God loves you. This is the verse that helps you when you're dealing with forgiving yourself. This is the verses that help you when you need to forgive others, right? God is love. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing that anyone in your family can do that will separate them from God's love. That's the reminder. That's the love filter. All right, not my favorite, the weight filter. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. So this is a reminder. Sometimes God will say, just gotta wait. Just wait. If you're a parent, you've gone through this so many times with your children, right? I'm hungry right now. So you just wait, 5 minutes, wait. And God says, it says, this is the reminder that even as you're waiting, right, God longs to be gracious to you, and he will rise up to show you compassion. Because God is a God of justice, of rightness, right, of doing things the right way. Blessed are you who wait for him. All right, a couple more. And I know this is a lot. Like, each of these could have its own sermon. But I'm hoping that today, like, again, that you find one that kind of really fits that space that you're in. And so you can hold on to it and put it in your toolbox. Okay, so this one's very similar to wait, right? Wait and hope. The words wait and hope in Spanish are the same words, esperar. So waiting and hoping. When you're waiting, you're not just waiting like in the doctor's office, like, when's this going to happen, right? You're waiting and you're reading something or you're doing something as you wait. So those who hope in the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar like wings, like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So this filter just reminds us that there is a strengthening that happens when we wait and hope in the Lord. This is for the times when you feel weak. Okay, you feel like, I can't do this. It's a, you know, whether it's a health issue or if it's you just feel like you don't have what it takes to do something that you know God wants you to do. This is the one that says those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And not just that, right? I mean, we know that God, people who wait on the Lord also will receive wisdom and everything that they need to do what God is asking them to do. But this one is mostly about strength. All right, I don't know what to name this one, so I just put three different words there. The purpose spirit prayer filter. Sorry, if you choose this one as the one you want to take with you, just change the name to whatever one you want to change it to. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. It is he who searches our hearts, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This is for deep, deep distress, right? This is for the times where you don't even know what to pray for, where people are like, well, how can I pray for you? And like, I don't know, just pray. I'm so distressed on so many levels, I can't even explain it to you. Okay, so this one says that it reminds us that when we get to that place, that the Spirit himself intercedes for us. There's another verse that talks about the fact that Jesus, as an intercessor, right, he stands by the throne of God, and he also prays for us, right? He's the high priest. He intercedes for us. So Jesus, this is when you're like flat on the ground. You cannot get up. There's nobody to help you get up. This is for those times where your body is a mass of jelly and your brain is fried and you're just hurting. And this is the place where you know that in that space, in that situation, that God and God's Spirit and Jesus are working together to intercede, and they know what you need. And the last verse there has been used many times. As a platitude, right? Right? And it's been misused many times because people will just say, well, you know, God works all things for good, right? And so it's, you have to be kind of careful with that verse or that part of the verse, right? That God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called to according to his purpose. But it also understands that it's all part of that previous package, right? That you're in a space, really, that you cannot pray for yourself, that God is praying for you. So yes, it is true that God does work good out of the most awful, horrible situations. But just be careful how you use that. Most people don't want to hear that, like, as a simple answer, okay? All right, this is the last one. The grace. 1 Corinthians 12:9. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. So this is really a renewing of the mind verse, okay? This is the verse that says, when you feel your weakest, God's doing his best in you. God's power is made perfect in my weakness. That goes in contrast, complete contrast to what we think, right? We think that when we feel strong, when we feel powerful, when we know what we're doing, then that's the most comfortable place for us to be, that's how we're supposed to be. As a pastor, I'm always supposed to be presenting my best face forward. I should never share any weaknesses with you because I'm the pastor, right? This is the opposite, okay? This tells me that when I am weak, when I come to the Lord, I say, I have no idea what to do, Lord. When I share things from my life that show you and show others that my life isn't perfect, that I'm a human being and I struggle with sin just like everyone else, this verse, this filter says that God then can shine, that God then can be glorified, that God's power can be seen by others most clearly. Well, that was a quick trip through all these. But again, that's why I gave you the handout, right? So you can take them with you.
and look over them again, how would you like to respond? Where in what spaces or what words here did God's Spirit kind of nudge you? Did you hear something that you think you can use, take with you? A takeaway.
We're uptight, we don't know what to say, but we gotta, what we feel.
Yeah. Reclimped.
Reclimped. Yeah. The Jewish grandmother, I'm reclimped.
Anyone else?
For me, the trust filter, I think it's, every time I sit down to work at, this pastoral search stuff, that is the verse that comes to my mind, is trust.
Checking in with mom, although it's messy.
And so there's a reminder to teach her today. Thank you, Jen.
Now you shake that tambourine over.
So just as a parting verse, and again, this, the intention is to use God's scripture, right? To use the verses in the Bible, from the Bible, to help us to see beyond our own viewpoint, right? And to see things how God is seeing them. Right, to see ourselves the way God is seeing it. We can be so hard on ourselves. Things can come along and just bowl us right over. This is a way to say, you know, to submit to God's version of the story. Right? This is God's version of the story. So if we do those things, right, if we allow God to impact in our life, we surrender to God's truth, then this is our prayer, that we ask God, ask Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. We are using these filters to shift out of our self-centered viewpoint, to become more God-centered, so that in the end, God gets the glory, so that we can continue to witness to the power of God in us.
I think that's all that say. Well, and again, I just encourage you. I'm gonna take these, and because I'm still working through this thing with my son too, right? And his, so I'm gonna go back and look at these and just decide which ones of these is the filter that I need to look at. What is God's reality in his situation? And before I sit down, I just want to say that next Sunday is the Sunday that we're going to be celebrating Kaylee's birthday. So I want to bring a kind of a youth-centered message. So I just want to see if maybe Kaylee, we can encourage Kaylee to be up here for that. So maybe somebody can maybe teach the kids during the Sunday school time. So we'll just see if we can arrange that. But I also would like you to bring things. Let's use this Sunday also, since it's her birthday, to build her up, right? To help her, young women deal with a lot of issues of self-image and self-worth. So let's write down a little note or bring a birthday card, just something that can speak to. To Kaylee's life. Let's pour into, let's plant some seeds next Sunday into her life. Okay? All right. Thank you.